Shalom, and welcome to the Lord's house as we share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, today's message. How many of you remember a well-known movie that came out a few years ago called The Passion of the Christ? The Passion of the Christ. And what is passion? Mary mentioned that word a few moments ago. And I looked that word up in the dictionary yesterday. And one of the first definitions it gives for it, it says the sufferings of Christ between the night of the Last Supper and his death. But it goes on to also give a number of other definitions here. And I want to read just a couple of those definitions to you. One says it's an emotion. And it goes on to state it's an intense, driving, or overmastering feeling or conviction. It goes on to say also that it can be an ardent affection, a love, a strong liking or desire or devotion to some activity, object, or concept. And I know that there are a number of other definitions here that can go into various other areas, but these are the definitions that we want to deal with today. It also goes on to say some of the synonyms for passion are fervor, ardor, enthusiasm, zeal, mean intense emotion, compelling action. Then it states passion applies to emotion that is deeply stirring or ungovernable. Now I want to distinguish something here between passion and anointing. We talk and we preach about the anointing. And we talk about how a person is anointed. But there is a little bit of difference between anointing and passion. A passion is something that you feel that comes out of your belly, that you an intense feeling that you deal with, and it's something that drives you. The anointing is something that comes upon you when you are delivering the word, or when you are saying something, or you are doing something that God has led you to do, then you become anointed to do it. But the passion is a driving force in your life that compels you to do something that you are set out to do. And maybe it's the calling that God has put on your life, and maybe in that calling you develop a passion that drives you to do that calling, regardless of what obstacles come against you, regardless of what thing gets in your way. That passion drives you to continue on to do what God has called you to do. Now, the word passion is only mentioned one time, and that's in the King James Bible in Acts chapter 1, verse 3. And it says, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. If you read that in the Geneva Bible or many other translations, it says after that he had suffered. The complete Jewish Bible says after his death. But as Jesus showed himself, he went through an intense amount of stuff for us. He went through some suffering for us. And yes, sometimes when we have a passionate drive for something, a desire to serve God that is a passionate drive, sometimes we may have to go through some hard times. In fact, I can tell you, the Bible pretty much shows it to be a fact. There are times as if you have a passionate desire to serve God, you are going to go through some hard times and some tough times because people aren't necessarily going to like you. If you are really passionate about God, there's going to be people out there that aren't going to like you. Because number one, the devil downright hates you. You hear me? The devil downright hates you if you are passionately serving God. And he in turn is going to put that hatred into other people's lives, and they are going to come against you because they don't like you because you like God. And probably everyone here at some point already in your life, regardless of how young you may be, have maybe experienced that where somebody doesn't like you because you are serving God. The Apostle Paul makes this statement concerning himself prior to his conversion. He says in Philippians chapter 3, verses 5 through 6, talking about himself. He says, I'm circumcised the eighth day of the kindred of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, by the law a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, I persecuted the church. I want to stop there just a moment. Paul had a passionate drive to persecute the church. He looked and said, aha, a follower of that Yeshua. He's on my radar. And he went about persecuting them, putting them in prison, sometimes having them stoned to death. You remember in the book of Acts, when it tells the story of Stephen, Paul was there holding the coats of those who stoned Stephen to death. And why did they stone Stephen to death? It was not because any wrong he had done. He had not committed a crime. He was not a criminal. He was not a bad person. It was simply because he was preaching with passionate desire and passionate fervor that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. And because of that, they stoned him to death. There are Christians today not necessarily being stoned to death, but are being persecuted. They're in prison. They're being beheaded. They're having all kinds of horrible things come against them because they have a drive to serve God, and people hate them for it. And they think they're doing their God a favor, as Paul thought he was doing Jehovah God a favor. As I persecuted the church, touching the righteousness which is the law, I was unrebukable. In other words, I was a Pharisee's Pharisee. I was as tight in this as you could get. I held to it with all the firmness, with all the conviction, with all the passion that I could muster to go out and do what I had set out to do. And let's talk about today, and if you examine some ministries that are out there, not in the last 20, 30 years, whatever, some of them are ministers that were going and doing things that were totally against God. They were doing things that were totally evil, but God got a hold of their life, and when he got hold of their life, he put not only an anointing on their life, but he put a passionate drive in their life to serve God and to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with other people. And you can see it. You can feel it. Passion that moves them to do what they do. And it's not because they're doing it for the money. And it's sad to say there's a lot of preachers out there today that are doing it for the money. God help them. There's a lot of preachers out there today that are saying things that don't line up with the Bible because people like to hear that. God help them. It's those that have had those passionate desires that no matter what's come against them, no matter what persecution they faced, they hung in there. And God will reward them and God will bless them. Will they necessarily get all the reward and their blessing here? No. That's okay. It passes away anywhere. But they have laid up something in heaven for themselves because they've been obedient to God. It's been their driving force. And if you read the rest of the New Testament, and you can go back in the Old Testament as well, but we want to particularly just deal with the New Testament today. Back in the Old Testament, you read of some of those it talks about, though they had a passionate drive to do what God called them to do. And they did it. Yes, they ran into obstacles, they ran into hardships, but they continued. But now in the New Testament, we find the apostles, they've got that drive, they got that passion in their life to take the gospel of Jesus Christ and share it, even though they know it is eventually going to cost them their life. Would we have that drive today, that desire? If you walked out the door and said, if I witness to somebody, it's going to cost me my life, would we still do it? Think about it. Would we still do it? They have that drive, that passion, that overwhelming driving force to go out and share the gospel. Didn't make them a lot of friends. But yet what they did, that drive they had in their life, what they did has lasted for almost 2,000 years. And we read about it still today, and we hear about it still today, and we see the effects of it still today. About 100 years ago, in the United States of America, they had the outpouring of Pentecost on Azusa Street. We talk about the anointing and the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues and all, but also those folks had a passion in their heart to serve God. And they were going to serve God no matter what the cost. Today, I'm afraid the church world, they'll serve God as long as it's not going to cost them anything. Oh, yeah, they'll put a few bucks in the offering plate now and then, but they don't want to have to go out of their way to serve God. God, I'll serve you, but at my convenience. When it's okay with me, when it works well for me, I will serve you. Let's look back just about, 12 years ago, September 11th, 2001. We have the events we now refer to as 9/11. And yes, the churches were filled for a Sunday or two, and people were seeking God, but how long did it last? Because there was no passionate drive there. Well, God, I'll get back to you when it's convenient to me. Passion. We think about some of the church fathers and mothers. And I know when we talk about, we usually say the church fathers. There were a lot of church mothers out there too. There were a lot of women that helped to drive and found the church and get us to where we're at today because God used them. And we don't want to leave them out, but sometimes we do. But they had a drive. They had a passionate desire to serve God. And they ministered with a passion. Some of them with very little education. Some of the names of preachers of times past that we have studied about and read about, they had almost no education. They could barely, some of them couldn't hardly read. But yet God used them because they had that driving passion in their heart to serve God and do what God called them to do. Even though it seemed to the natural world it was not going to work out, it was impossible, God put a passion in their lives. They served God and they accomplished mighty works for God because of that passionate desire. Does the church have a passion today? I know sometimes we see things happening in the church, and we do refer to it as the anointing. But there is the two separate things here. There is that passionate drive, and then there is the anointing, as I mentioned early. And the anointing is that that comes from the gift of the Holy Spirit that is helps us as what we're doing. And we pray for the anointing. As we get up and we minister, we pray for the anointing as we do things for God. And that's the help that God gives us from the Holy Spirit. But we still need in our hearts and lives that passionate drive to serve God, irregardless of what's going to happen. That passionate drive will cause you to come to church when you don't feel like coming to church. It's not the anointing that brings you to church when you don't feel like coming. It's that passionate desire to serve God. It's that passionate desire that causes you to get up and do things for God and do sometimes things that you really don't want to do because you've got that passionate desire to serve God in your heart. And yes, when you have that passionate desire in your heart and you begin to then follow that passionate drive that God's put in your heart, that He will also give the anointing to help you do it. But all we want today is an anointing. We don't want a passionate drive. Where is our passion? We all have passion because there's a lot of definitions for that word passion. But do we have that passionate desire to serve God? Where is our passion for God? And this applies not just to the people in the pew, but it applies to the people in the pulpit, that we need a passionate drive in our lives to serve God. Mary was listening to a minister on TV the other evening. And if I were to give his name, some of you here probably wouldn't know who he is. Most of you would probably, but some of you might not. Very well known back in the 60s and 70s. Life was featured in a book, in a movie. And she was talking as she'd finished watching the program. And she commented, "You could feel the passion in his voice as he talked about serving God, the things that he had been through. He wasn't a goody two-shoes, but God got a hold of him, and God put a passionate drive in his life, and when God put that passion in his life, it changed his life forever. And yes, he went through some hard times after that. And there were probably few people out there would like to have killed him. But God put a drive in his heart, put a passionate desire in his heart to serve God. Passion. Where is our passion? Do we really have a passion to serve God? What really comes first in our lives? Think about that. What really comes first in our lives? Well, you say, okay, well, I got to get up Monday morning. I got to go to work. Yeah, most of us have to go to work. That's how we get the money to pay our bills. That's how we get the money to put food on our table. I got to do this. I got to do that. And we sit down and we begin to make a list of things in our lives that we have to do. And there's no denying some of them we have to do. But where does God fall on that list? Somebody wrote a book a number of years ago, and I didn't write the name down, but they called the title. It was God, Family, and Country. And what really comes first in our lives today? Well, I'll tell you, it should come in that order. First thing in our life should be God. And there's a lot of people have it confused. They put family first, then God. I've got news for you. If we put God first in our life, God is then going to take care of our family. And he's going to touch our family, and he's going to meet the needs in our family. It's when we put family or something else first, and then we put God second, third, fourth, fifth, and even as far down the line as we can go sometimes, that we run into trouble. But when God becomes the first thing in our life, he is the burning desire of our heart. He is the force that drives us. He's the one that we look forward to getting up in the morning and talking about. He's the one that drives us with sense and intense desire. When we put that first in our life, God is going to take care of all the rest. And we all slip up sometimes. And we put other things. And I begin to wonder. And I'll have to say, I'll be honest with you. As I was preparing this message, I begin to examine my old life. Where am I putting God in this? I like to say that I put God first. But I begin to realize there are times I don't. And I think if every one of us really truly examined our heart, that's what we would find. There are times that we put other things before God. We relegate him to second, third, or whatever place. Well, this or that happened. Yes, I know there are things that come along that are unexpected, that sometimes we cannot serve God the way we want to at that particular moment. I understand that. God understands it. He knows there are circumstances sometimes come into your life. Maybe an illness happens. Maybe some other event happens that you cannot at a particular moment do for God what you really wanted to do for God. Maybe you can't go to church or whatever. I understand that there are times we take vacations. We need that rest in our body to refresh our bodies. God understands that. And that's not taking God out of first place to do that. But the thing is, when we let all these other things creep in and suddenly we find out that we have slipped God from first place in our life to the end of the line, is when we get into trouble. We don't have that passionate drive anymore. Oh, it's Sunday morning. Man, church starts at 10 o'clock. Well, it's only 7:30 now. I can sleep a little bit longer. The next thing, it's 10 minutes to 10. Ah, God will understand. Well, guess what? The next Sunday it's going to be even easier to do that. And God begins to understand, quote unquote, every Sunday. Oh, well, God, you can forgive me for this, you know. And the next thing we know, God has taken a back seat in our lives. We have been blessed in this country. God has shown favor upon this country. Because we as a whole have been a God-fearing nation. We're slipping. Amen. Check some of the other countries. Even some that are not necessarily evil countries, so to speak. They don't do things that we consider evil. They have just not been a nation that particularly served Jehovah God. And you see there the people. And the Christians there will tell you sometimes we have to depend upon God because that's all we have. We've had so many other things. We've said, God, I'll get back to you when I need you. If something comes along that there's no other way, the doctor can't fix me, and I'm not preaching against doctors. God put them here for a reason. And when we need to go see the doctor, we need to go see the doctor. It's plain and simple. God will take care of us and He will guide that doctor's hand. I believe that. And I've been fortunate in the last couple of years to have had some doctors that have prayed in the morning when they got up and said, God, help me to be the best doctor I can be. I've had others that stood by me as they were going to do surgery and prayed, God, help me to be the best surgeon I can be. And I've appreciated that. Because I know that they were the instrument that God was using. But we've been blessed. But because of our blessing, we begin to let God take a back seat in our lives. We begin to no longer have that passionate desire or drive to serve God. Yes, family is important in our lives. And family should be number two. That should be the second most important thing in our life. We should hold up on our family. We should support our family. We should try to take care of our family. But God still needs to be the driving force and factor in our life. And I've seen some families that were destroyed because family came first and God got slipped down. 1, 2, 3, 4, out of the picture. We have to have that passionate desire, that passionate drive. When we put God first in our life, God is going to take care of family. He's going to take care of our needs. He is going to take care of us. Does that mean that He's going to then make us instant millionaires and we're going to be living off the fat of the land? Absolutely not. And anybody that tells you that's the case is flat out not telling you the truth. All you got to go back is look at the apostles. But God will bless you. And God will meet your needs. I've known people that they barely scraped by all their lives. But they served God with all their heart. God came first in their life. And it didn't matter what other people thought about them. God was first and foremost the important thing in their life. And I believe God honored them for it. And I believe when they walked through heaven's gate that God blessed them abundantly because the foremost thing in their life was their passionate desire and drive to serve God. Does that mean that everything they did was always right? No. We all make mistakes because we're all human beings. We've not suddenly become gods. But God understands that we make mistakes, but when we have that driving desire to serve God, God's going to be with us. And what we need in church today is passion. We need that passionate drive. We need that passionate desire to serve God. We need to go home and pray and say, God, help me to put you first and foremost in my life, then put family second in my life, and Father, I'll let you take care of everything else because he'll begin to work it out. I remember, and I just want to give you an example. It's a personal example. And I'll have to say I'm a little bit lacking now, probably. But there are times in my past ministry where that passion was there, that drive, that I went, had to get somebody to come and drive me 100 and some miles to where I was supposed to preach on Sunday morning because I had broke my toe the following day. And I couldn't walk hardly. But I went. I preached. I was able to walk. I was able to stand. I was able to do what I needed to do to preach that message. I've had other incidents like that where I had that drive to, and I'll have to say, like I said, I've slipped. Sometimes today I don't know if I would still do that. And I ask God to forgive me if that's the case. Because we need to put God first in our life. Before anything else. We need the passion. Our church needs the passion. Not a lot of us here today. I understand because some are on vacation, still the end of summer just about, that time. But we need more passion as a church. We need more of that driving desire. We need more of that not letting this, that, or the other thing keep us from being in church. And whatever excuse that we can come up with to not be in church. Yeah, the enemy's going to come along, put things in your way to keep you from being there. But we've got to say, no, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there. We've got to have that drive. Do we have passion when we come to church? Or do we come to church because it's our social gathering? And I know that after church, we like to sit around and talk. Nothing wrong with that. It's good to fellowship together. We like to get here some a few minutes early and talk. Fellowship together. We enjoy the fellowship of one another because we are of like mind. We've come to serve God. But I'll tell you, God dealt with me on something last night, and starting next Sunday, it's fine to come here and fellowship with one another. But we have a nice room over here. We call it the Blue Room right now. But on Sunday mornings, before church, that's also the prayer room. From this point on, I want us to come here, and if you don't have something else that you need to do when you're here, such as practice for worship service, I want you to spend some time in there praying and seeking God for this church and for the service, and that God would move in our midst. And I believe when we begin to develop a passionate desire to seek God for the service and to pray before we come into the service, and whatever we need to do, let God be that driving, passionate force in our life, that God will begin to do a work in our church. So next Sunday, from the time the doors are open until about 5 minutes before 10 o'clock, that's the prayer room. You spend as much time in there as you want, whatever time that you feel led to be in there. But that's what it's for. Did I ask anybody's opinion on that? No. Because I believe God spoke that to my heart last night. And that's what we're going to do. I'm going to be in there. I need to be in there. And I know I find sometimes things that really of no importance to keep me occupied before church. But when we begin to get down to business with God and let Him put that drive in our heart, I believe God's going to move. Father, I thank You for the word that You've given us today. And Father, I have done my best to speak the word as You've given it to me. And I just pray, Father, that not only as this applies to our congregation here, but Father, to people who may be listening by the internet or by CD or whatever other means they may hear this message, I just pray that You would speak to their hearts, put that passion back in their life to serve You. I thank You in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
You have been listening to a message from the Lord's house. If this ministry has blessed you, please let us know. You may email us at pastor@tlhf.us, or you may write us at the Lord's House Fellowship, P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Or if you would like to attend a service at the Lord's house, we are located at 1131 Maple Ash Avenue, Columbia, Tennessee. And until next time, Shalom.